Economics on KGO 810. A new novel looks at a dystopian future where hundreds of thousands of people simply walk away from society. It's hard to have rules and jobs when everything is 3D printable and nobody really makes anything anymore.
Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. Thanks for listening. A running theme on this show is that the future is now. So this week we have an author, technologist, activist, and editor and co-owner of BoingBoing.net. It's all the same person, Cory Doctorow. His new novel, Walk Away, is a glance at a dystopian future where it's hard to justify rules and jobs in a society that is disposable, surveilled, and 3D printer addicted.
And we end up with all these kind of lumpy, inefficient things. You know, Will Gibson said the future is here, it's just not evenly distributed. Walk Away is a novel about using that coordination technology to get everything where it needs. It's like the Zipcar version of fully automated leisure communism.
Here's another scene setter from the book before we get to the interview. Quote, it's still dangerous out there. Much of the countryside is wrecked by climate change, and predators are with us always. Yet when the initial pioneer walkaways flourish, more people join them. And then the walkaways discover the one thing that ultra-rich have never been able to buy, how to beat death. End quote. Cory and I also veer into the net neutrality debate and how the new FCC chair wants to make the internet an uneven playing field, tipping it for corporations. Here's part two of my chat with Cory Doctorow. Let's go to the book for a second. Let's go to the story with your main character who walks away.
Yeah.
Right? He walks away, but they create something better. They've turned their back on something. And are you hoping that that kind of a theme or a device will help others realize and think as they get through the book? It's a very entertaining book. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get too esoteric and too analytical. But, you know, I don't want to deconstruct necessarily.
Right.
But there are some themes through this book. And you know, you're very eloquent when it comes to the massive themes that were in your mind as you were forming this story. But nonetheless, the story is he walks away.
Right. Yeah. And it's a story about people who turn their back not on like materialism and abundance, but on indifference to the effects of it. And so they try to build this kind of fully automated leisure communist society where it's not the kind of green left's hair shirt of austerity and living as though it were the 17th century. It's this bright green Promethean version of a future where not every lord is forced to live like a peasant, but every peasant is lifted up to something better than any lord could have. Because, you know, while a lord may enjoy some visceral sociopathic pleasure from having people wait on them hand and foot, wouldn't it be better if it just happened invisibly, automatically, all the time, with processes that constantly improve themselves and were fully automated and didn't require that your pleasure come at the cost of someone else's attainment? And so that's what they build. They build cooperative systems that use networks, use instant fabrication to make things come into existence at the moment that they're needed to give them the most luxurious life imaginable, and then gracefully decompose back into the material stream when they're done to be reused later, to kind of square the circle between there being only one Earth's worth of stuff and energy, but the absolute human pleasure of material culture, of well-made, wonderful things that delight our senses and delight our ingenuity and delight our imaginations.
When I was reading the book, I was made to feel comfortable with the coming technology that we're going to be dealing with. One of the things that came to my head was the ubiquity of 3D printing, and that just being a baseline expectation of moving forward. How long have you been grappling with the ideas of the coming technology that seems to be coming at us a little quicker than we thought?
Yeah, you know, I think that 3D printing, I mean, I wrote a novel about it, 2009's Makers, is all about 3D printing. And 3D printing and process improvements in manufacturing, they are so manifest in our world today. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly something I paid a lot of attention to. You know, if you look at, like, we definitely have a resource consumption problem, but it's at the macro scale, at the micro scale. If you look at any individual car that we can see out the window of the studio, comparing it to a car that's 30 years old, the labor, the energy, the materials that went into that car are an unimaginable infinitesimal fraction of what went into a car just a generation ago. Mm-hmm. So we're able to do a lot more with less. But that's only one corner of abundance, right? Another corner of abundance is what we want. You know, Keynes grappled with this in 1930. He said by 2015, you know, we'll have a struggle with to fill our 3-day work week and wonder what to do with the rest of the time. But Keynes underestimated how elastic our demands were, how much we could possibly want. And that's the other corner. But the third corner, and this is where all the action is, this is where Walkaway is coordinating all that stuff. It's the logistics piece. It's the thing that allows the port of Guangzhou to fire a shipping container at the port of Los Angeles 1 a second every hour, every day, every week of the year, like a railgun firing Happy Meal toys at America. And that logistics is what lets McDonald's mm-hmm. sell you a hamburger with a beef of 1,000 cows. They are primarily a logistics company, not a restaurant that, you know, coordinates like infinitesimal fractions of cow, right? That is the thing that promises the most abundance, because one of the real problems that we have is that we stockpile things that we don't need right now, because laying hands on them later will be hard, and we end up with all these kind of lumpy, inefficient things. You know, Will Gibson said the future is here, it's just not evenly distributed. Walkaway is a novel about using that coordination technology to get everything where it needs. It's like the Zipcar version of fully automated leisure communism. You know, I lived in London when the rideshare bikes came in. Mm-hmm. They're so much better than owning a bike,
right?
Owning a bike, it gets stolen. You have to park it, all this other crap. The bikes worked so well that we all became cyclists. Like they couldn't even keep the bikes on the racks. They couldn't build them fast enough because they work so well. And we're seeing it here in New York and everywhere.
Cory Doctorow, novelist, creator, maker, boing boing.
Yeah, I'm the co-editor and co-owner of a website called Boing Boing. It's very widely read. I'm an activist for the Electronic Frontier Foundation here in San Francisco.
We've had them on the show several times.
Wonderful people. I've been working with them for 15 years, and they're
fantastic.
Amazing.
How are things at Boing Boing?
Boing Boing's going great guns. You know, here we are 15 years after starting one of the first blogs, and, you know, we've still got millions of readers, and we bring in a comfortable living for about 5 people, which is all it takes these days to serve an audience of millions, which is itself a remarkable testament to the kind of world we live in. And it remains an important place for me and my co-editors to both flesh out our ideas, to celebrate the things that we find marvelous in the world, and to mobilize people for action on causes that matter. So we've been writing a lot lately about net neutrality and Commissioner Pai, Chairman Pai, who is prepared to, you know, treat the internet as though it were primarily a glorified video on demand service instead of the nervous system of the 21st century.
I want to go back to Walkaway real quick, because I want to give you a chance just to educate me, because there's no way I uncovered everything that you had going on in that book. Is there something I missed you wanted to talk about?
Well, there's a joke that a lot of people have missed so far, which is, you know, that everyone notices that the protagonist has 20 names.
Yes.
Right. And his parents gave him the name because they wanted to confound databases later on in life. But they also gave him the name because they were pissed off that they had been founding members of the Anonymous Party. But then the leadership of the Anonymous Party instituted a real names policy like the one Google Plus used to have. And this was a protest as they stormed out of the party. And it's a joke, but it's ha-ha only serious, right? Because we do have this struggle today with our idealistic projects becoming co-opted. You know, it's a thing that a lot of people have noticed is that the free and open web has become a silo of 5 big companies almost without us noticing. And we're really asking ourselves, how do we get there? Because the people involved were good people, and they had the best of ideals. And in fact, in other places, they managed to hold on to those ideals. So the free and open web was started around the same time as free and open source software, you know, give or take 5 years. And here we are a couple and a half decades later, free and open source software has devoured the world, right? Your MacBook is just a dumb terminal to talk to a Linux cloud. And yet the free and open web went from like, don't be evil, to surveillance capitalism, as Shoshana Zuboff calls it, in like, you know, a series of tiny incremental compromises, none of which looked too grave at the time, but which cumulatively added up to something really terrible. And one of the things that Walkaway is about is how you preserve your ethics, how you guard from your strong self against your weak self. You know, and I think that in the world of free software, the way that we did it was by starting out, whenever you made open source code, you put an open source license on that you couldn't revoke later. So even like if your investors came along and said, we're going to shut down this company, and your 30 best friends who quit their jobs and pledged their kids college funds to you are going to be out on the street, you couldn't close your code. You just couldn't. So your weak self was armored against your strong self. The same way that, you know, when you go on a diet, you throw away your Oreos, not because you lack the self-control, but because part of self-control is knowing that you will have a desperate moment later unless you get rid of them now. And so the open web, it never had that. And Walkaway is in part about how we create not just norms, but institutions that are incapable of compromising, that we go beyond shaming someone who's made a compromise to binding them so that they can't make a compromise, so that no one, including their own weak self, can arm twist them into making that compromise.
Well, this has been an uncompromising delight for me. Cory Doctorow, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That was Cory Doctorow. He's the author of the new novel, Walk Away. He's also a blogger and a technology activist. He is the co-editor of BoingBoing.net and a contributor to many magazines, websites, and newspapers. He is a special consultant to the Electronic Frontier Foundation here in San Francisco. He holds an honorary doctorate in computer science as well from the Open University, where he is a visiting professor. For this segment and all of our segments, please visit kgoradio.com/techonomics. And maybe, you know, check us out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.